You know, I was coming home from a pastor's meeting yesterday down in a little church called Henriette, out east, southeast of Mora, and I took a back road back into Mora. I asked the pastor, I used to frequent that country once in a while. Mora and Hinckley lived over there for a while, and came into Mora from a back way, and I got into a place in town that I wasn't familiar with, and matter of fact, I got into a street that said, do not enter. Well, I looked at the other pastor that was with me. I said, too late. I'm already entered. And I said, I wonder what the pastor's behind us, because there was two others following my lead to get out of there. Wonder what those guys are going to think. She said, well, I don't know, but they at least stopped at the last stop sign that you just blew through. So I hope you had a better driving experience today than I did yesterday. I'm glad that you're here. You know, we've been talking about fan or follower, and we're going to continue to talk about that today. Let me share with you first. I read an article from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. It was in Monday's paper, and I was given the article Tuesday night, read through it. And the title of that particular article said, Fastest Growing Religion with a question mark. Okay, fastest growing religion with a question mark. And then behind that, it wrote in quotations, the nuns. The N-O-N-E-S. In other words, the non-goers. That's what it's referring to. And the Minneapolis Star Tribune article said it this way. There are now just about 50 million Americans that do not associate with any organized religion anywhere. Now, about 50 million. There's only 300 of us total in America. 300 million. And this organization, or this author, this Star Tribune writer, whatever it is, put together these facts and said that at the current standing, there are about nearly 50 million people that do not associate with any organized religion. In other words, quantifying them, categorizing them as the nuns, the non-goers. Many of those, the article says, are there now in the nuns category, say that they were in church at one point. Some of them said they were in church at some point, but no longer are there. And some have said in the article, no longer find it relevant. The article goes on to say, and this is a quote from the article, there was a time when Sunday was a sacred time. You remember that? Do some of you remember that time? There was a time when Sunday was set apart as sacred, the article says. And the vast majority of Americans were Christians. But now the malls are open. And you can buy liquor, and you can have your kids in soccer practice and in baseball practice. And churches have to compete with many, many, many other things. And church going in America, the article concludes, is in decline. You say, Jim, yeah, so what? What's that got to do with anything? Well, we've been talking about fans or followers, right? And here's what I've been thinking. I was thinking about this question, and this question was in my mind before I read the article, but it just happens to go along with this article. What would happen, brothers and sisters, what would happen if followers of Jesus Christ had a new passion and a new desire at a new level to follow Jesus? You see where I'm going? You see what I'm thinking about? We got the article that says, and I've given you facts over the last months too, but we've got this time that we're in where masses, tens of millions of people find church as irrelevant, non-essential to me. Millions and millions of people around us find church as irrelevant. And I'm asking myself, I've given you the statistics from our own communities around here. Lots of people are not in church. And so I'm asking myself, what would happen What do you suppose would happen if followers of Jesus Christ had a new passion to follow? You say, Jim, what do you mean by new passion? Well, let's just take the Sermon on the Mount for a moment and think about what Jesus said as a passion. When he said things like, you are, Church of God, followers of Jesus, salt and light. A new passion to go into the week Monday through Saturday as salt and light. Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount all kinds of things. He said things about concerning anger. He said things about concerning sexual immoralities. He said things concerning oaths and divorce and retaliation. And he said things like loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you. What if the church began to love our enemies and pray for those who persecuted us with a new fervor, or perhaps with a renewed fervor, or with a passion that we actually meant it? What would happen, I'm asking myself, if the church, followers of Jesus, had a new and genuine passion to follow? To be salt and light. To be honest people in the business place. To genuinely love our neighbor. To genuinely care about somebody besides ourselves. What would happen if followers of Jesus had a new passion to follow? Over these last 6 weeks, we've seen many things in Scripture. We've seen that Jesus' invitation is out. If anyone will come, be my follower. We've seen the invitation. We've seen in many examples over these last 6 weeks, many choose not to follow. We've seen that many do not have time or do not put any priority on following. We've seen that many make excuses and procrastinate. And we've seen the words of Jesus from Matthew 7 in 13, 14, 15, and 7, 21, 22, and 3, how many are on the wrong road. Those same many thinking they're on the right road. And he reminded us in Matthew 7:22 that when we get to eternity's edge, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, but Lord, and our excuse could be, but Lord, I went to church once in a while. But Lord, I did this or did that. And matter of fact, I thought I was a follower. And the only words Jesus said we're going to hear at entrance to eternity is, I don't know you. We've seen that. We've refreshed our mind about that over and over for these 6 weeks. And that's why I've been challenging us. Are we a fan? Remember the definition, an enthusiastic admirer. Or am I a follower because I'm willing to deny myself, take up my cross, surrender everything to Jesus Christ as Lord, and follow? That's what we've been looking at for these 6 weeks. And in conclusion, today, I've asked myself, what if followers of Jesus had a new passion to follow? What would happen? We're going to talk about that further tonight, but I'd invite you to turn to John chapter 14. It'll probably be on the big screen for you, but if you've got a Bible, I'd invite you to turn to John chapter 14 anyway. John chapter 14 is a great chapter, and I'm sure you know a lot of things in there, including when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and all that conversation, you know that. John 14:6, you know that verse, I'm sure. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know in John 14, he talks about the introduction of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, he talks about the peace that only comes from Jesus. And nestled in all of that stuff, that good stuff in John 14, is John 14:12, 13, and 14. Here's what Jesus said. He's talking to his disciples on the night of his betrayal. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Now he's talking, this is that belief. We talked about biblical belief is a step of faith and a step of action. Biblical belief becomes action in who we are. Followers. And Jesus says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Did you know that? Did you know Jesus said that of his followers? The works that I have done here on earth, my followers will do also. Who knew that? Jesus said, he who believes in me, he who embraces me in Lord, he who takes up his cross and follow me, he or she, will do, he said, the works that I do, he will do also. And he doesn't leave it at that. He goes on and said, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters in Christ? These are the words of Jesus that said, my people, if my people will surrender themselves, deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me, the works that I have done, the things that I have done, you will do them too. And he doesn't leave it there. He says, and even greater things than these you will do also. I say, hallelujah. We never think about what will happen if people, followers, claim to be followers at least of Jesus, will really get enthusiastic and passionate about following. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that Jesus said, you'll do greater things yet? Praise be to God. You say, Jim, what's he saying? Jesus saying the followers will raise the dead because that's what he did. Or give sight to the blind, or make the lame walk, or some of those things that Jesus did. All I can say to you is, friends, is the words of Jesus. And I can assure you that some of these things have happened, are happening, and will happen in the name of Jesus. We heard just a year and a half ago, as you, this congregation, sent some money to a church right down here in Iowa that was going to have a missions trip into the slums of Africa someplace. We heard from that pastor. He wanted to come here and tell us firsthand, and he may yet someday. He just wants us to come here so badly and tell us about what he saw. But we heard what he saw. This is a little old guy from Iowa that we helped their missions organization get to Africa. They saw miracles, and one of them was this lady come with this crippled up little short arm, and they prayed for her in the name of Jesus, and they saw the arm grow to regular length. Jesus said, and greater things than these you will do. Well, you say, well, Jim, I'm not sure he's talking about raising the dead. Well, that's happened too. In the Bible it's happened, and it's even happened in our own time. But one thing I am sure of, when followers of Jesus get passionate about following, people come to know him as Lord. I am sure of that. And I am sure that falls into what he means here. He was one man, the Son of God, ministering to people one at a time. And one of the things I am sure of he meant, when people get passionate to follow Jesus, many, many more will come to follow Jesus. I am sure of that. Greater things than these, he said, you will do. Greater things than Jesus did, he said, you will do. And I'm convinced, brothers and sisters in Christ, that if followers will get a new passion by the Holy Spirit of God to follow, we will see greater things. I'm convinced of it. One of the things, though, brothers and sisters, we talked about last 2 weeks from Luke 9:23 was denying ourselves. And I believe that when God's people get passionate about denying ourselves and following Jesus, God intervenes. I believe it. You say, Jim, well, what's denying ourselves? First of all, friends, we've got to be humble people. By God's Spirit and God's enabling, we've got to be humble people, because pride ain't going to get it done. What's denying ourselves mean? It means being salt and light, everyday life. humbling ourselves, being humble people, honest people, loving people, caring people, praying even for our enemies, even for people you don't like. That's denying ourselves. And I believe when God's people deny themselves and forget about our own comfort and our own selves all the time, God has a way of intervening in His people and miraculous things happen. I believe in miracles. Have you seen any miracles lately? Anybody? I asked the earlier group that, and my grandson was sitting up here, and he said, no. Nope, I haven't seen any. Well, he hasn't seen what I've seen. Brothers and sisters, if you were here last Sunday night, you heard a testimony about a miracle. Amen. You see, friends, every time God enters somebody's life and they are reborn, it's a miracle. The miracle of rebirth. And then as He begins to work and we surrender ourselves to Him, there's this transformation that goes on. What we heard last Sunday night was a miracle of transformation. Praise be to God. I have seen miracles. And I believe, friends, that we've only just begun to see the greatness of God here in this church and our communities and churches everywhere. I believe that God wants to do a greater work in people, through His people, in churches, in America and around the world. I believe that God wants to do a greater work. Jesus called these, and greater things you will do, Church of God. I believe that's what He wants to do. I really believe that Jesus is calling upon His followers to be involved in greater things. Listen to me, friends, for a second. I come to church every Sunday morning with an expectation that God's going to show up. With an expectation that He's going to touch hearts. That He's going to call people like He did the disciples and like He did people. We've looked at them all through the 6 weeks. He's going to call. He's going to place a call in your ear that's profound and unmistakable. Come follow me. I believe it. I come every week with an expectation that God is going to show up and He's going to challenge us to surrender a little more of ourselves, to deny a little more of ourselves, to take up our cross and genuinely follow. I come with an expectation that God is going to show up and do great and mighty things amongst us, amongst our community every week. And every Saturday night, we're still gathering to pray. Not a lot of us, but we're gathering to pray here on Saturday nights. And we'd welcome you anytime you want to come, 6 o'clock. But we're praying to the Lord of the harvest every Saturday night to send forth laborers. Isn't that what Jesus commanded us to do? Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Why? Because the harvest is ripe. We pray every Saturday night, Father God, the harvest is ripe, right here in our own communities. The harvest is still ripe. Send forth laborers, O Lord. As a matter of fact, use us. Use us, O Lord, as laborers in your kingdom harvest. I believe, brothers and sisters, when Jesus said, you'll see greater things, I believe He meant it. This testimony that we heard last Sunday evening was a testimony of the power of the transforming power of the living God in a person's life. And He wants to do that over and over and over and over. And people all over our communities and all over our families, He wants to do it. And one of the reasons I believe that He continued to work in Terry's life, and she shared this with us last Sunday night, is because she had daughters and friends and a former husband that continued to seek the face of God on behalf of her salvation. I believe it. Greater things than these. I believe, though, friends, sometimes we get discouraged because we didn't see a prayer Maybe we laid hands on somebody, and maybe their disease or whatever wasn't gone just like that, and we get discouraged, we get distraught, we get down. God's time's not our time. When did God say, I'll do it when you, the moment you ask? He said, I'll answer your prayers, but His time may not be your time, may not be mine. Do you suppose Terry's daughter, she gave her testimony last Sunday night, do you suppose her daughters might have said, you know what, God, I've been praying for Mom for 10 years. I give up. You suppose they ever would have said, you know what, Lord, you ain't answering my prayers. They kept praying. And God kept working. And at one point, God touched Terry's heart and she said yes to the Master. Sometimes your prayers don't get answered today. You got to hang in there. We just talked about 6 weeks on prayer. You got to be faithful. You got to be persistent. Sometimes He don't answer it today. His time ain't our time. But I believe He wants to do greater things through His people. John 14:12, King James Version. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these he shall do. I say, praise be to God. But I will assure you, friends, he will not, this is not applicable to fans. This is applicable to followers of Jesus. Greater things will happen when my followers get passionate about following. If I'm just saying, you know what, God, I can use you on occasion. I might have a request for you once in a while. I might show up at church once in a while. If that's what we're calling followers, that ain't going to get it done. When we are passionate about following Jesus, He said, the works that I have done, you'll do them too. I believe it. I don't know if you do or not, but I believe it. And I believe that He's at work, even though sometimes we can't see it. People have said to me, so if He said that, so how come it ain't happening? I believe it is. I believe Sunday night's testimony last week was a prime example. But there's been other miracles of transformation in you. Some of you here right now today, there's been other miracles of transformation. There's been miracles of healing. Lung cancer. There's a man here today that had lung cancer. He don't anymore. There's been miracles of healing. There's been miracles of transformation. I believe it. I believe when Jesus said, and what I've done, you can do too, followers, but we've got to follow. And sometimes we say, well, Jim, I don't see it happening. Why isn't it happening? My first response is, it is, praise be to God. But perhaps because it isn't, and I know time is running out, but let me try to be brief. Perhaps because it isn't, it's not happening because said followers have not figured out what it means to deny ourselves. We want what we want, and we want it right now. We want our comfort. We want our pleasures. We want our cake and eat it too. We're not into denying ourselves. I believe one of the primary reasons that God is not doing greater things through His church today is because we haven't figured out how to deny ourselves. We want to be comfortable. We want to be entertained. We want to be amused. I said this a long time ago, brothers and sisters. God cares more about your salvation and your eternity than your comfort and mine too. God cares more about our neighbors, our unchurched neighbors, our coworkers, our family, our friend. He cares more about their salvation than my comfort. Deny ourselves is what Jesus said. If anyone, Luke 9:23, if anyone will come after me, the first thing that Jesus said, let him deny himself. We're not very good at it. We're just not very good at it. And so we're going to have to ask God's help on that one. God, help me surrender and deny myself because I'm not very good at it. I believe that things are not happening the way we would because, as I said before, there's probably sin in our lives or in the church. I believe that things are not happening like they could because our prayer life is almost non-existent. Oh, I'm not talking about every individual because I know that you pray, but I'm saying that as churches, our prayer lives need to take on a new and renewed importance. One Korean pastor who now pastors a church of somewhere around 50,000. They ask him, what is your success? Prayer. No, I mean it. What is your success? Prayer. What do you do to pray? I pray all night, every Saturday night. I believe, and I'm as guilty as the next, brothers and sisters, but I believe greater things are not happening because our prayer lives are not where God would expect them to be, as followers. Now, if we're only a fan, we probably ain't going to have much of a prayer life. But when we claim to be followers and we surrender to be followers, our prayer lives need to be real. They need to be passionate. We need to travail in prayer, as Paul has told the church. And lastly, I believe that greater things are not happening because Jesus very clearly instructed us in His Word to be the light of the world. And yet on Monday through Saturday, we look like the world. We ain't light at all. And so if people never see Jesus, or if they see somebody that says, I'm a Christian, and yet we're doing and acting and talking and walking the same way they are, they're never going to see Jesus. And I believe that there's reason greater things are not happening because there's no noticeable, recognizable difference between said follower and the world. I believe those are part of the reasons we're not seeing greater things. But praise be to God, we can do something about all that. We can deny ourselves and we can surrender and we can let Jesus take hold. Now let me just close with this because I know our time is up. What do you think would happen, friends, even in this church, even in this body of believers, or the church that you come from? Maybe you're from a different church here today. Just a little example. We bought 500 calendars, just a simple little gesture. We bought 500 calendars, 2013 calendars. We said they're back here for you to take. We also said take an extra one or two for your unchurched neighbors. What would happen if we passed out 500 neighbors, unchurched neighbors, and said we'd like you to come to church? What do you think would happen? I think the Spirit of God would start speaking to people. What do you think would happen, brothers and sisters, if we would decide to spend a considerable amount of time in prayer as individuals and as a church for the salvation of our city, our co-workers, our business leaders, our mayor, our council, our police, our firefighters, our school, our professionals? What do you think would happen if followers got passionate about praying for people in our communities on a real regular basis? I think miracles would happen. That's what I think. I think He'd show up in new ways. I think greater things would happen. What do you think, brothers and sisters, could happen if we formed this small little group? This was just put on my mind this week by another lady. But if we formed this small little group to minister to the parents of our Awana kids. You know how many Awana kids we got here? We got 90 Awana kids here. You know how many of those parents don't have a chance to get to church or don't take the time, one or the other? Well over half. What if we had 6 or 8 lay people that said, you know what, Pastor? I believe those people are important too. I believe you're right. And we need to go say hi. And we need to go invite them to Jesus and invite them to church. And at an absolute minimum, say, is there something I can pray for you about? What do you think would happen when the body did that? I think greater things would happen. That's what I think. Friends, I could go on and on and on and on. The point is this. When He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and be my follower, He means it. He doesn't mean go back into the world and walk and talk and look like the world. He means take up our cross and follow. When He said salt and light, He means it. And I just want to challenge you with this. Please don't leave here after some of you have been in all six sermon series. Please don't leave here today after this fan and follower discussion and think, yeah, that sounds all well and good, preacher, and forget to follow. Because if we walk out of here committed to Christ, say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be your follower. Jesus will show you what to do. He will show up in your life. His Spirit will guide you. And there will be occasions for you to follow. I believe it. I've told you the statistics from around here. Somewhere between 65 and 75% of our neighbors and our families are not in church. That's our neighbors. This is this community. You say, Jim, you don't have to be a follower to be in church. Well, you may be right, but it's probably an indication of where my heart is if I'm never in church. 65 to 75% of our community is not in church. 50 million Americans are saying, I don't need church. I think, friends, that followers should care about that. I think that followers should love our neighbors as ourselves. And invite them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Invite them to church to worship. Invite to be there in their corner to pray with them and to encourage them. Or whatever God asks you to do. I don't know about you, friends, but I want to see God do those greater things that Jesus is talking about. And I believe He wants to. I believe He wants the church to come to life in the Spirit of the living God. I believe He wants us to surrender and deny ourselves and really take up our cross and follow. I believe it. I believe God wants to transform. I believe God wants to save. I believe God wants to heal. I believe God wants to answer prayers. I believe it. I believe He wants to heal marriages, heal bodies. I believe it. But friends, we as followers got to get passionate about following. It can't be for an hour on Sunday morning. That ain't following. That's not a follower. That's a fan. That's an enthusiastic admirer. Following means following.